Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday, okay? It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac, because what is guacamole made of? Avocados, both from Mexico.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans, I'm going to open up a Corona on Super Bowl Sunday and toast you, just so you know.
Yeah, everybody's all upset about the president using his emergency powers to impose tariffs on Canada, Mexico. But look, you know, he's got very good reasons for them. Canada, for example, has all kinds of barriers to the U.S. You know, there are Canadian banks throughout the U.S. There are no U.S. banks in Canada because the Canadians keep them out. Mexico is the place where fentanyl, almost all of the fentanyl coming into the U.S. flows through Mexico. And where is it coming from? China. China produces like 90% of the fentanyl in the world, much more than is needed for actual medical reasons. And why are the Chinese doing that? Well, we all know. They see us as their adversary, and they produce it intentionally, ship it to Mexico intentionally, so it'll come into the U.S. and, frankly, you know, poison our youth and people who use it. So I don't see a problem with the president using his emergency powers for this reason.
So Chuck Schumer said yesterday, one reason I played his bite there is that, you know, I get it. When Joe Biden was president, the Republican attorneys general from across the country certainly used the courts to try to attack his policies. Schumer suggested that he would try legislatively to get some sort of bipartisan legislation that would somehow restrict Trump's ability to do this. Would that be trying to, I mean, he has a constitutional power that he's using to do this, emergency power, right? Is there any way legislatively they could prevent him from doing this?
Well, yeah, I mean, they could withdraw, amend the law that he's using to do it. But okay. I don't think that they've got, frankly, the political power to do it. There are too many Republicans in Congress who are going to say, no, we don't want to do this, particularly if it's helping manufacturers and others in the United States.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Hans, I still think sometimes about all these crazy pardons that Joe Biden gave to so many people before he left office, including his brother and Anthony Fauci. I mean, you name it. You know, obviously that protects him federally, but it does not from any sort of state litigation, right? And they obviously can't plead the fifth. So, I mean, what would that take if, say, Missouri wanted to pursue that against Anthony Fauci? Would it require our Attorney General Andrew Bailey to say, hey, you hurt Missourians because of your policies? Or what would that take in order to do that?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
How likely is that you think that that could come?
You know, it is very, very tough for states to prosecute federal officials for things that they did when they were federal officials. There are many, many cases on this going back a long way in our history. It's extremely difficult to do. The courts frown on it. So I just, even though it might make everybody feel good, and there are good reasons for potentially going after a very obnoxious know-it-all guy who I think hurt a lot of people because of that obnoxiousness, I just don't think it's really much of a viable route to go after
him. For them to do that. You know, I was reading your piece the other day. When we had you on last week, you told me you were going to be putting a piece up regarding birthright citizenship. And, I mean, it's pretty fascinating. Everybody seems to think this is some sort of a slam dunk, I think, Hans, that if the United States, because it's in the Constitution, doesn't have the ability to alter this. But it gets down to what the intent was of the 14th Amendment, correct?
Well, yeah, plus it's a worse interpretation of the current language. Look, in the first, here's the important point. In the first 100 years of the application of the 14th Amendment, everyone from government officials to law professors, they would have been astounded and anyone claiming that it provided citizenship to the children of aliens in the country illegally. That was not the view of it, and it was only starting apparently in the Roosevelt administration that the government started saying, "Oh, you know, we're gonna misinterpret the 14th Amendment. We're gonna provide citizenship to the children of aliens and foreigners who are here." Everybody now thinks, well, that must be the way it is, but it's not, and that's not what the 14th Amendment means. And if and when this gets to the Supreme Court, if they go with the original intent and the actual language of the amendment, Trump will win this case.
Wow. I think that's great. And if you're having this argument with your friends, go to heritage.org and read the article that Hans and Amy Schwerer put up about this birthright citizenship clause. Too many forget, but Trump is right to question. And it's an interesting background for you to have, because you're going to hear a lot about this from your friends over the water cooler for sure. Hans, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You bet. Heritage.org, the Daily Signal. He often writes pieces for the dailysignal.com. It'll give you an opportunity to go in and read that. But he's right. It's like this was put in place to help to erase any question about the fact that the children of slaves who were brought here against their will were considered U.S. citizens, brought here against their will being the key part of that sentence. That's why it was written in there like that. Not for you to come here illegally of your own volition and have a child, and suddenly that child is a resident of the United States. Never what it was intended for. And if the court interprets the intention, Donald Trump wins that suit, and was very smart to make that executive order and get that challenge going.
Get more at 971talk.com.